From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns brings another portion of a message entitled The Certainty and Nature of Answered Prayer, the fourth in a series of studies dealing with the vital matter of prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, the Lord Jesus gives specific instructions as to how Christians are to approach their prayer life. In our text, he says, Pray to thy Father which seeth in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The issue at hand is answered prayer. True believers in Jesus Christ know that God answers prayer, for He has answered their cry for salvation, for growth in grace, for insight into His Word. Yet, at times, it seems as if God were deaf to some of the prayers of His people. We know that God is infinitely wise, that He can see things in a way we cannot. As a loving Father, He knows what to give as well as what not to bestow. Also, He has specific reasons in mind regarding our spiritual growth, and He will deal with us to bring about those purposes in our lives. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes the opportunity to draw attention to the simple explanation of the gospel as found in his booklet, A New Beginning, a publication designed for those who are serious about learning how to be saved and how to grow in the Christian life. The emphasis today is on life after death.
Have you noticed what an interest there is nowadays in things concerning the occult and the views and the notions of Eastern mystical religions? Have you noticed how much the idea of karma has come into our vocabulary, and nirvana, and all sorts of mystical foreign and, should I say, devilish nonsense like that? The reason for this really is that despite the rationalism and the so-called scientific method that has been drummed into people, whereby they have been led to believe that you die like a dog and there's nothing else beyond the grave, yet there is this nagging, persistent question in the human heart and in the human soul, is there life after death? In answering that, some people will tell you about reincarnation, that you're going to come back again in some other way, in some other form, according to how you've lived in this life. The Bible gives the lie to all such fanciful theories. Now, you can put to rest all the opinions of all the religions. Those religions are produced by men who can give you nothing better than their own thoughts. They have never died and risen again. They are not the Lord, the God of eternity. They know nothing more than you or I know. They may spin fanciful theories and get a lot of followers, but at the end of the day, they are blind men walking in the dark trying to make other people think that they can see where they're going, and they can't. There's only one source of solid information on life after death, whether there is such a thing, and if there is, what it is and where it is, and that is the word of the everlasting God. Who alone in all the history of the world has ever come into the world to tell men, I am the Son of God, and I will prove it, I will die, and the third day I will rise again from the dead? The thing is unheard of, except in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord Jesus Christ said, that He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the ending. He said, I am the I Am, the eternal, ever-present God of glory, the everlasting Jehovah. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if anybody can tell us about life after death, then it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So you needn't be in the dark about the answer to the question, is there life after death? The Lord Jesus Christ clearly taught what we call the immortality of the soul. That is, that the soul does not pass out of existence at what we call death. The separation of the soul and the body at death does not wipe the soul out of existence. He taught the reality of a place where that soul would exist, either in heaven or in hell. Now, when you stop to think of that, and let me emphasize, those are the only two places. There's no purgatory in between. There's no second chance beyond the grave. When you are laid in the grave, your soul will exist in heaven or in hell, awaiting the resurrection of the body, when the whole person, spirit, soul, and body, will exist in heaven or in hell. Now that gives great poignancy and great urgency to the question that the Lord Jesus Christ asked. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? This is the most important question for you. Your greatest possession is your real self. Your soul is going to live forever, either with Christ or without Christ. So how about you? What about your life after death? Where will you be in eternity?
Someday you'll hear my final call to you, to take his offer of salvation through. This could be it, my friend, if you but knew God's final call. God's final call.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning, to which Dr. Cairns made reference earlier in the broadcast. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning, or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's LTBS@FREEPRES.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or LTBSradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, LTBSradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
History affords us many examples of God's answering prayer. Take the case of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. There's a wonderful thing there that Judah was faced with a coalition of nations. There's nothing new in what's happening in the Middle East. There was a coalition then. The Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites were all together to destroy Judah. And Jehoshaphat prays. God inspires Jehaziel to answer. Now here's the prayer. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Lord, we're looking to thee to do something and to deliver us here. That was the prayer. Now verse 15, verse 17 of 2 Chronicles 20. Here's the promise. Jehaziel said, hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go you out against them, for the Lord will be with you. That was the promise. Now the performance, verse 22. when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Now, it's easy to read that, but put yourself in Jehoshaphat's place. What could he do but pray? Outnumbered, outgunned, as we would say, outmaneuvered, he hadn't a hope in the world. The world has a way of saying that they would say he hadn't a prayer. But you see, that's where they were wrong. He had a prayer. He prayed and God delivered. You can multiply examples. You think of Peter lying in prison in Acts chapter 12. The whole future of the work of God in jeopardy. James already murdered. One of the leading apostles, one of Christ's inner three, already murdered. Peter scheduled for murder. And the people pray. One of the few times, even in the early church, when the whole church prayed at one time. Prayer was made unto God without ceasing of the church for him. Acts chapter 12, what happened? God intervened and God led him out. So, the history of God's word shows us that God answers prayer. Subsequent history gives striking testimonies. You can read some of the most wonderful statements from missionaries and servants of the cross. Many of you read the life story of George Mueller. If you haven't, you ought to. If it doesn't thrill your heart, then I think you'd better go see a cardiologist and make sure you have a heart. Because, mind you, that's a story of the mighty grace of God in answering prayer. When you get a man who won't make an appeal for money, he won't even make a list of needs known, and yet he has a number of orphanages with hungry children and not a bite of bread in the house, and when the kids come down seeing places set for breakfast and nothing at all to feed them, they wonder where's it coming from, simply to be told, "Let us pray. Our Father has never failed us and never will." And before the prayer is finished, people who knew them not, moved of God that they couldn't sleep, were up in the night baking and preparing and bringing the food. That's God answering prayer. I read just recently of Charles Wesley getting a very different kind of answer to prayer. Wesley went to an English town to preach, and everybody in the town was ready to murder him. Literally, his life was in danger. He retired inside the house where he was staying, and they kept battering and battering at the door. He could be grateful that they were solid oak doors and not the things that they put on for doors nowadays, otherwise he'd have been a dead man. They couldn't get the door battered in. Hours went by, and he was up in the utmost room of the house praying, crying to God for his deliverance. And they heard men on the roof beating their way through the roof, determined to have him out to lynch him. Who knows how it would happen? But God moved the leading magistrate of that town, who was leading the crusade against him, to get into the house, to speak to Wesley, and to offer him a way out. If you promise, you'll never come back. The men are battering on the roof. The tiles are flying. Death is approaching. Wesley said, "I will never promise that, for I intend to come back." He said, "Well, will you promise me you'll not come back at once?" Well, he said, "I can promise you that. I can't come back at once. I don't even know when I can come back. But I do intend to come back here before I die. I will be back. Good enough for me." And the magistrate led him out. We have Charles Wesley's hymns today, because God answered prayer, moving even his enemies. Our own testimony adds its voice. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his fears. Despite the feebleness of our praying, despite the unbelief which so often attends it, despite our own personal unworthiness, he has answered prayer. He has answered prayer in saving us. He has answered prayer in keeping us despite all the things that are set for our entrapment. He has answered prayer in teaching us his word and showing us his will. He has led us. He has fed us. He has blessed us. He has enriched our lives. He has given us his fellowship. He has let us see something of his power. He has met our needs physically, emotionally, spiritually. So our own voice answers. God answers prayer. And of course, he still promises to answer prayer in all the senses he sets forth. What a comfort. Perhaps you're going through some very tough time today. You're a Christian, but you're in a corner. I can't get there with you. Nobody else can really enter into that particular experience with you. You're going through a time when you've got to prove God or else. Well, I want to tell you, the comfort of this great truth is that you are not left alone. The Lord is sovereign. The Lord is all-seeing. The Lord is all-knowing. And the Lord is all-powerful. He can and does answer prayer. It's a comfort. It's a confidence as well that he will answer prayer. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. 1 John 5:14. That's our confidence. With that confidence, Paul says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. And in 10:22 of Hebrews, he says, let's draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So we first of all establish that God does answer prayer. But what the Savior is teaching us is something more specific. And when we pray, we should be assured of this, that God answers us as an all-wise father answers a needy child. That's how God answers prayer. The Lord answers us as an all-wise father answers a needy child. Now, this will help to resolve some of the tension of the things we ask and we don't receive. The Lord is lavish in his response to his people. The Lord is loving in his response to his people. But the Lord is also very purposeful in his response to his people. Obviously, he aims at his own glory. It's the chief end of all things. But he's also aiming at other things, much more immediate. As I say, this will help to answer some of our questions. Think of yourself if you're a parent. With all the love and all the willingness that you have to supply the cries and the needs of children, yet your purpose will dictate whether you respond in one way or another. It will determine whether you give, what you give, how much you give, and when you give. If you're a wise parent. Why? Because your purpose in answering the cry of your child is not merely to show your love. It is not even merely to satisfy an immediate desire. But it is to go beyond that, and it is to build that child, to edify it, to do it good. Even when it doesn't understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. Now lift that up to the spiritual realm. Your Father will reward you openly, said Jesus. Your Father, he's answering us as our Father in all his wisdom. He has many purposes. As we have read in Matthew 7 today, in verse 11, he purposes to provide provision for us. to give us the good things. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to his children who are asking him? He purposes to provide us with protection. Isaiah 41 is a favorite passage of mine and shows that very, very clearly. But beyond that, he purposes to give us instruction. One of the things a parent has in mind as he or she responds to the cries of an infant or a child or maybe a grown offspring is to teach that child to make sure that the giving is part of the building up of that child. That's the way it is with the Lord. He must teach us to trust him. He must teach us to glorify him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.